The topic is privacy and halacha. The reason for the topic, hopefully, is somewhat obvious, and that is that I want to be able to focus on, during the 3 weeks, issues that involve other people. One of the topics that I think is important, does everybody have a sheet or not?
One of the topics that is important is the concept
that they need to think about other people. And I think that specifically when it comes to teenagers, does anybody else need a sheet?
Yeah, everybody has. Everybody has? Yes.
So when it comes to teenagers specifically, they generally only think about themselves. Somebody shared with me a story yesterday where Dafka, that's exactly what the person said. Hey, Dafka said, yeah, that's because I only care about myself. So during the 3 weeks, we want to bring to their minds the important topic of privacy in halacha and questions that always come up with campers. Some non-camper asked me the following question. You'll think it's funny, maybe we could hack a little bit in halacha in this. And that is that he said that he has a walkie-talkie. So obviously he's a more senior staff member. He has a walkie-talkie, unlike your rabbi over here. And once in a while they'll say, go to 8. You know that there's about to be juicy gossip on Channel 8. He said, would there be a violation of me going to 8 to hear? It's an open line. Anybody could listen to it. So I said, yes, and we'll see in a moment at the end of this year, Takanas Rabbi and Gershon, and why that would be issues. This comes up as well. Sometimes you like to, you got your friend's phone. For some reason, he doesn't have a, what do you call it on it? It's not protected. And he wants to go ahead and, you want to go ahead and read his messages. See what's going on. Would that violate anything? That would be a question as well. The other question, for example, would be, would there be any stipulation, for example, when my wife decided last night when we drove up and took us three-something hours, she's going to go through my phone and see who WhatsApps me. Is it different if it's a wife, maybe? This happens in the bunk all the time, right? What form of privacy is there? So we take our source sheet this morning from one of my favorite books out there. If you guys aren't aware of this book, you should be aware of it. It's called Headlines. Headlines has 2 volumes by a wonderful person, Rav David Lichtenstein. He is a very model Jew in the sense of he is quite wealthy, I believe. He has a regular job, if you will. And he has this great program where he interviews anyone and everyone to get the real story on what's going on. He had a great interview last week, I believe, with Rabbi Aaron Cutler, Rav Aaron Cutler's, I guess, great-grandson, about what was going on in Lakewood. Very, very, very impressive person. Here, if you want, do you want more? I have more over here. So,
you want more? Need more?
Okay. So, he writes this beautifully, and NCSY, together with him, I think he put out into the OU Press, puts out these wonderful source sheets, which I think will help us. So the first story that it tells, and again, I don't have to tell you how to do chinuch, but I think the great way to get guys interested is to tell them the real background, the real story of when this came up. And everybody, of course, will remember this from 2015, December 2nd. There was a devastating terror attack that was perpetrated by a married couple. It killed 14 people. 22 others were seriously injured. In the regional center, inland regional center in San
Bernardino,
California. Just for our Californian. And who was the perpetrators? Now you're going to tell me how to pronounce their names. Saeed Farouk and Tashfin Malik. And they were found guilty, they were found and killed by police in a shootout. 2 months later, this is the chat. February 9th, the FBI, obviously investigating the attack, general, the way that police forces work, certainly in Israel and the army, they actually don't want the terrorists to be dead. A lot of times people are upset when these Nebuch stabbing attacks happen, and they're like, why didn't they kill them? Why didn't they kill them? A lot of times they get a lot of information that's very, very valuable, more valuable than the death of the terrorist, is being able to understand why he did this, where he came from. And they weren't able to do that, except, of course, they had information. For example, they had Saeed's iPhone, but they could not unlock the device in order to find clues of the shooter's possible accomplices, important context, v'chula. This information, the FBI claimed, was vital to the Bureau's ongoing investigation. So the FBI called their friends at Apple, and they said, can you do us a favor? You know how to do this. Disable the phone, the security restrictions, so that we could access his phone. And surprisingly, Apple openly refused this request. Said that they uphold their strictest commitments and they will not compromise the security of their customers, despite the fact that this customer was a terrorist. They went to court. The FBI appealed to a federal judge in court, which issued an order that Apple had to comply with FBI's demands. This became a little bit of a legal battle, and of course, it became a hawk in, should Apple do this? Maybe they were right in what they did. Very, very interesting. It brings a broader question, as it says over here, about keeping information private. How exactly do we do that? Hacking people's emails, so on and so forth. Wiretapping, all these different things that have become popular. Right? And one could argue, in a camp setting, what... Right, in a yeshiva, a place where you go, what abilities does the place that you're renting from, if you will, have to keep eyes on things? Let's say, for argument's sake, there was a theft going on in camp, and they didn't know how to control it, the camp. So they came up with this great idea. They're going to put cameras in all the bunks. Does that violate privacy? It actually violates some laws in the United States. But can you do that? Can you put a camera at least at the outside of it? We have caught a lot of people in yeshiva because the cameras that we installed outside of the campus of the yeshiva literally catch them doing vandalism, things of that nature. We have a three candy-type machines. We have a camera there. We've caught people. There's actually a sign that says under surveillance, and we've caught people stealing. So that seems to be not a violation, but how far do we go? And I want you guys to sensitize the guys and start a discussion before you even start my Maamar Makomos. Hey, is this, what do you guys think about this? Should have Apple release this information or not? So we start off with a very interesting Gemara in Yuma. Anybody want to help me out with the Gemara? Anybody have a clear copy that could see the Gemara? Because I cannot. Yes, we need to work on the copying machine. Amar Rav Manasya. Yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
Oh.
Wait, what's the English interpretation? Go ahead. Oh. Rabbi Nasya.
The Great. Where do we know that if someone tells his friend something, then he, the listener, is subject to the prohibition of do not say it, until he is told you can say it. It is right for the Pasuk, Hashem spoke to him, Moshe, from the Olam Moed, saying.
Okay, so we have to see what this Gemara is talking about. Gemara and Yuma on Daf 4b, because of the fact that, is that true? I'm sure you guys have heard of this before, that there's such thing called doctor-patient confidentiality. There's rabbi something. A clergyman can't release that information. I know of a clergyman who somebody confessed to him that he just killed his wife. Right? So what do you do there? So there, I believe the law is that no more confidentiality exists when someone's life, you know, has been put in danger, and the possibility is maybe she's not dead, maybe you could revive her, so on and so forth. He actually convinced this person to call the police, but and said, why are you calling me first? You should call an ambulance. But so here are the Gemara. So now go on to the second page. So here Rashi comments and explains the Gemara. We often need Rashi to help us. Talmud Lomar? Lo Omar HaDvarim Ha'ela. Why did he have Dvarim Ha'ela? Ela Im Kain? No Stein Lo Rishus. The Pasuk said the word lemor. Why does it say lo amar? You could take the words lemor and said lo amar. Meaning, Do not say these words unless you're given permission. The Gemara is basically saying, according to Rashi, that you are not allowed to divulge information of someone who told you something unless they tell you you can. Something we like to violate all the time. Something that we should be thinking about during the 3 weeks. Right? Lashon Hara. Right? Oh, you'll never guess what so-and-so told me. You'll never guess. Right? And sometimes the person actually says to you, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell anyone. And what do you say? I'm evolved. Don't worry, I'm evolved. I always say the following. Right? I'm not talking about students. Right? A friend says to me, don't tell anybody this. I said, I won't tell anybody this, but there's always one person I have to tell. My wife. My wife's in charge. I tell everything to my wife. Unless, you know, it's a girlfriend or something. I'm not going to tell her. No, but kidding, of course. But that's the truth. The truth is that we have an obligation. We should be honest with our spouses, certainly. What? Oh, so it's exactly what I was going to say. However, when it comes to certain types of information, again, there are heterim, of course, the famous Sefer Chafetz Chaim, where you know the Chafetz Chaim discusses different situations where we all make a mistake a lot and say, oh, it's l'toelus, I have to tell you this, so on and so forth. Not everything is always l'toelus. Okay? I'll give you an example. Everybody seems to know of a heter called the heter Shaduchim, right? That means that when I go ahead and ask you information, I know something about that person which will incriminate him and you wouldn't want to go out with him. So the question is, how do you say that information? The Chafetz Chaim says now it's mutter because it's mamish l'toelus. I know that you're not going to want to go out with somebody who, this guy's not firm at all. I'm in camp and I see that this guy doesn't even put tefillin on in the morning. Right? So Rav Schechter once said in his shir, he said, instead of saying that and incriminating to such a level, what if you said the following? You know, I know he doesn't wash Negel Vasser four times and you're makpid on that. It's also something he doesn't do because he doesn't wash Negel Vasser at all. So you want to start there instead of, whoa, right? A lot of times we think you have the head to the front, huh, that's the least of it, by the way. He also doesn't put tefillin on, and I saw him davening to some sort of idol, and he eats milk and meat. We have to tell him all this stuff for. That's not the heter. That's not part of the heter. But here, on an even and more important level, lo omar is you're not allowed to give out information that was told to you. It's private information. It's something we violate all the time. You could ask the question to your talmidim, why? Why is it so bad to give out private information? Hopefully they'll have good answers on this. So now, he quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. Because seemingly the Gemara tells us that we can't go ahead and spread any information. Unless the person explicitly says, oh, Mazel Tov, I had a boy. Can't tell anybody that. Right? Or do we say, no, that's beautiful. Of course you should tell people. It's excuse you mind, can I tell people? Of course you can tell people. Right? I saw a post on Facebook. Somebody wrote this whole thing. And someone wrote, do I have permission to forward this to other people? I think that once you put it on Facebook, the permission's granted. Right? I don't know if it really needs...
That's
what?
That's bad. That's awesome.
I can't understand.
It's three
yeah.
It's
considered to be public. Stoma, right? It's public information. Even if, by the way, even if the taina, I guess, of this person is that only your 1,700, you know, the 1,700 friends can see it.
But everyone has that.
Right, but everybody has that information. This is the same thing by a newspaper, we said. Right? The newspaper reeled the information, so sometimes it is wrong to go ahead and they come up with one of the traditional anti-Semitic articles or whatever, or something that really happened. So you have no mitzvah to go ahead and forward it to all your friends. Ah, look what they wrote about so-and-so. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that we know, of course, of a much more famous Isser called Lashon Hara. Hilchos Deos 7:5. Hamesaper Dvarim Shegormim Im Nishmo Ish Mipni Ish Lahazik Havera Begufo Bemono Viafil Lahatsero Lo Olafida Rezi Lashon Hara. If someone tells matters which, if they were to be heard by the other people, would cause physical or monetary damage, or even cause him distress, or to be frightened, it's called Lashon Hara. Again, there are heterim once you consult the local Orthodox authority.
What's a limitation?
That's a big limitation.
The Rambam,
yeah. It's a huge limitation. The Rambam seems to say that if there's no reason to spread this harmful information, again, I'm not talking about l'toelis of I'm saving Klal Yisrael, right? This is a question that came up about child molestation. You know someone's a child molester, so there's a website out there, right? Whatever, community aware, and they go ahead and say, here's a picture of the guy, be careful. He just moved to so-and-so location. In fact, there's a famous rabbi, I believe Rabbi Yaakov Horowitz, who's being sued currently for tweets that he put out about a certain individual who was convicted. And this guy, Tina, is still, you shouldn't have told about. So here the question is that, why did the Rashi just say, Mishum Lashon Hara? It's Lashon Hara. You can't give out private information because it's nobody's business. It's Lashon Hara. Even if, right? Again, I caution you that you need certain heterim. There are heterim out there. Okay, I'm not talking about a case of bodily damage, as it says here, where you know it's coming to you. Someone's about to rob your house, right? And this, you have to be very careful with this halacha. That's not really the point of the discussion. But the Rambam seems to be very strict on this. The Chofetz Chaim in his Hilchos Lashon Hara, as well as the Beir Maim Chaim, answer this question and say the following. Right? What's our question? Why do we say that we quoted a pasuk to say that there's an isser of revealing private information when there's already an isser of Lashon Hara? Why do I need a Gemara and Yuma to go ahead and tell me that there's an isser of, right, the pasuk of Ohel Moed, and the Rashi says that because the word Lamor is Lo Amar, what do I need that for when I have an isser of Lashon Hara? Sveidinim. Let's see. So he writes, right, again, the Chofetz Chaim here. Second page. Perhaps the law stated in Yuma to not reveal any information that someone shares with you was referring to bona fide prohibition. Not referring to a bona fide prohibition. Rather, it was merely referring to a guideline, an etiquette, a proper behavior. This only is a real prohibition is when one reveals negative information, which is Lashon Hara. What if it's no negative? Maybe I'm right what I said. Maybe the Gemara in Yuma says, don't reveal any information if it's not public knowledge. For example, and this is interesting, we had said, if you remember, way back when we gave our shiurim about Genevas Das, so we spoke about seemingly a Rambam, the Sefer HaKovetz quoted these two Rambams. And there was a Rambam in Hilchos Deos and Hilchos Mechira. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos spoke about the Isser of Genevas Das, and so did the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira. And we asked, why does the Rambam have to write in two places? So the Sefer HaKovetz said beautifully, there's Svei Dinim over here. There's an Isser of being ethical. Not the Isser of being ethical. You can't be someone who's not ethical. You have to be ethical. And therefore, Genevas Das is just the right thing to do. Aye, but there's also halacha against it. So that's the first answer over here, is saying that even information that's not negative in itself is usher in itself, because it doesn't develop good character traits within me. Alternatively, second answer, maybe we can say that this isser that's discussed in the Gemara and Yuma is a bona fide isser, but the only time it applies is when someone specifically tells you not to repeat it. If he says nothing, then I'm allowed to tell it over. You told it to me. Interesting. Right? This is the typical, probably the way we normally act generally, is what? We go ahead and people say to us what? People say, hey, so-and-so, I have free reign to tell it over. It's only when, and this is usually the hardest, when someone says, please don't tell anybody this. Shoot. Right? And then you go to your friend, as long as you preface it by saying, I'm really not supposed to tell you this, it's okay. That's certainly awesome. So there's two possible interpretations according to why the Gemara in Yuma needed to add seemingly an isser, if you will. Maybe it's not an isser in itself. Maybe it's just an ethical nature one. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. We gotta move on. I can't think. Every 2 seconds, you're hopping with questions. So there are two possibilities here. Okay. You could argue, as the first source, and again, this is Chafetz Chaim talking. You could argue that one's not really an isser, it's just a way to act that's not nice, and then you have an isser of Lashon Hara, and then you got to go through all the laws of Lashon Hara and figure out what's going on. Number two is that the alternative is that what? No, it's a bona fide isser, but the isser is different than Lashon Hara because it applies only when someone says, don't say anything to me. Okay? Good. Shkoyach, let's move on. Rabbi Isai, we got to follow along. This is your chinuch. Right? If you're not following along with me, ask me a question. Because this is what I want you to be giving over to your guys. Good? Wonderful. I see some people are not on the page. Next page. We know that there's an Isser in the Torah. Mefurish in Vayikra. What does the Pasuk say? Who could read the Pasuk? Who could help me read the Pasuk? Lo Rachil Biamech. Does anybody know what does Rachil mean? What? Right, very good, right. Rachilus, but what does Rachilus mean? Rachil in Lashon, in Hebrew, a Rachil is actually a peddler. It's a person who is a salesman, who goes door to door or city to city, the way salesmen used to be. The way salesmen used to be either, even in America, they used to have the encyclopedia salesman, where they would go out and they would sell information before there was Wiki and WikiLeaks. And you could get everything online. And then there were people who would go town to town and say, you know, I'm selling the elixir of life. Or whatever. I'm selling their wares. So that's a more of a very, very drush interpretation of saying Rachil is that person. Don't be that guy. What would happen? He would go from town to town and he'd be like, wow, you know what's going on in that town? Crazy stuff. Right? Or I was just at your neighbor's house. Wow, that's crazy house. What's going on there? Tell me. But Rachil is a gossip monger. That's generally the way that it's interpreted. Just came to my mind. I'm sorry I have to say this. Meaning, because I don't want to go off topic, but I will. Rav Frand has a beautiful fort. The Gemara says, I forgot who it was, Rabbi Yochanan. The story about how this man comes out. He's a Rachil. He's a salesman. And he's screaming out of the window, who wants the elixir of life? Come here. Give me X amount of money and I'll give you the potion that will give you long life. And everybody's hopping. And from the story, it sounds like, you know, they leave the base medrash. And when he says, don't talk Lashon Hara. That's how you're going to live a long life. And if it was Rabbi Yochanan, I forgot who it is again, said, wow, what a chiddush. Wow. And it comes in, it's like, wow, that was worth every penny. Wow, wait, wow, wow. So Rabbi Frand asked, what's the wow here? Well, you didn't know that pasuk before? So he said, I knew the pasuk before. But the fact that the Rachel believed it, the person who goes town to town and hears all the gossip, how hard is it for him not to tell it over? I mean, this was the Access Hollywood of the day. This is how you got your gossip. This was your National Enquirer. What's going on in town X? That's difficult. So the Rambam here in Hilchos Deos, in a few halachas before, speaks about, anyone want to help me? Zeh Shetoin Dvarim Ve Holech Mizeh Lezeh Vi Omer Kol Omer Kach Omer, sorry, Ploni Kach Omer, so on and so forth. Somebody goes from person to person, again, very similar to our traveling salesman, and says, ooh, look who said this. Oh, look who said that. Look who said that. A person's not allowed to do that. He's explaining the pasuk. Next page. The Rambam here seems to say that Rechilus means revealing any type of private information about another individual. But not everyone agrees with the definition of Rechilas. For example, Rashi, in his commentary on the Pasuk in the Torah that we just read from Vayikra, seems to imply the prohibition of Rechilas is limited to only revealing negative information, which would make sense, by the way, but with the other Rashi that we saw, maybe you can interpret it.
So,
the Rambam seems to say it's also to tell over any information, like we said before, which is obviously very much aligns with the Rambam a few halachas later, which says you're not allowed to do this all the time. Whereas Rashi, which maybe prescribes to the Rashi that he learned, saying, no, it's only negative information. It's only if the guy says you don't tell anybody. That would make sense. Comes along the Shari Tshuva. Right? We asked the question, why would the Rambam have a problem with giving out any information? What's the problem? Who cares? Right? It's private information. Comes along the Rabbeinu Yonah and writes, V'chayev Adam lahastir hasod asher yigla alav yigale alav chavero derech seser. Person is obligated to conceal a secret revealed to him by his fellow in a secretive manner. Afal pisha ein giloi hu inyan rechilos, even if there's no rechilos involved, ki yesh begiloi hasod nezek. Revealing a secret causes damage to the Ba'alav, the person who told it to you. And also, secondly, the Ashenis, Ki Megala Hasod, Eich Yotza Midera Hasniut, Binu Ma'avir Edat Ba'al Hasod. You're violating modesty, or put it lightly, ethics. It's not the way a person should act. It's wrong. Let's go, everybody. Let's go. Wiener. Wiener! So that is the Isser. So Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be strict and says, it doesn't matter the type of information that we're talking about. It doesn't matter the type of information we're talking about. Why? Because everything is Isser, because it's not appropriate for you to reveal secrets to people. Fun part about this. A summary. This is what we've done so far. The Gemara tells us when Allah reveal private things, because Baal Yomar, the extra Lashon, Lo Yomar. The prohibition is different from the regular prohibition of Lashon Hara, because maybe it's not really an Isser, but it's not ethical, or it's an actual Isser in itself, even if he told you, if the Isser is, if he told you, not to tell anybody. Revealing private information also is an Isser of Rechilus, not just Lashon Hara. At the very least, revealing private information about another person is a breach of ethical conduct. Good. We discussed everything we need to discuss. But what does the Torah say about spying on private affairs of people? Where's the pasuk that says, do not spy on thy Jew? There is no such pasuk. But many possible sources are brought for this. The 3 weeks. Love thy neighbor, what we should be concentrating on during the 3 weeks. Sefer HaChinuch says, what is love thy neighbor? What does it mean? Lo hovis kol echa mi Yisrael havas nefesh. Klomar, shenichmol al Yisrael ve'al mimono kemo she'adam chomel al atzmo v'mono. We have to have a deep love for every Jew. And you're compassionate to a Jew. Compassionate that you would be as this is your own money. That's how much you care about not losing another person's money. Shenemar v'yatla reicha kamocha. V'omar, the Gemara in Shabbos says, don't do to others as you want done to you. Dachs, sani lechavercha, lo tavid. What you would not want someone to do to you, do not do. The concept of the Hatha Recha Kamocha, according to the Gemara in Shabbos, is what? Is that don't do things that you wouldn't want done to yourself. I tell this to my kids all the time. Right? He says, oh, you did that to me? Oh, you're going to get it now. I said, that's taking revenge. Why would you want what you just didn't like done to yourself? Why would you then want to do it to somebody else? It doesn't make sense. Okay, don't make sense to a 5-year-old, I understand. But That's the concept. I have to love a Jew so much like it's myself. Right? The famous, you know, yesterday I was going to shul. I was at somebody's house. I'm not familiar with their system of locks in their door. And I couldn't get out of the house. They have like three locks. I'm not so smart. I finally figured out how to get out. And I quickly closed the door and it slammed on my finger. Oh, Rabbeinu Shalom, did it hurt? So now what should I do? This finger is killing me. It did something stupid. So I should take this hand and go, you idiot, what are you doing? Why'd you do that? Now we're all hurting. My whole body's hurting. Are you crazy? Nobody would do that, right? This is the same body. Nobody does that. So that's the concept behind you. We're the same person. We're the same people. Why are you doing this to yourself? Would you, right? Excuse me for using a, you know, would you treat your wife, it's your spouse, huh? And this happens sometimes. Maybe I'm guilty of it sometimes. It's your, I don't understand. You would do anything for your wife, right? My wife knows this, unfortunately. Maybe it's not a negative trait of mine. I think it's positive. If anybody's like starting up with her, if like, you know, I'll get right in the middle, like, excuse me, yeah, that's my wife, get out of her face. It's like it's me. Very important, Sefer Chinuch. So therefore, we didn't get to this yet, but that's why spying should be us, or why? Because I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want somebody to do this. Would you want someone to read your emails? Most probably no. Even though you don't have private emails, and yeah.
Yeah, but can't you just say this for every email?
Say a little bit better. What do you mean?
You don't want to kill someone. The source should be out there. You don't want to steal
them. Yeah, it is also. Yeah, you're right. So, Rav Asher Weiss once said, he was qualifying a certain mitzvah, and he said, the bottom line is, right, he was talking about whatever. Let's say, when is it considered to be pekuach nefesh? When is it considered to be whatever? Halval sameis. When do you have to go to the chasen? He says, at the end of the day, you can tie it to me that I didn't get the mitzvah of misameach chasen v'kal. I did get the v'hatarech kamocha. I still was there. You're right. There is an aspect of v'hatarech kamocha by everything that we do. It's true. It's an aspect. Rav Yaakov Chagiz in Halachos Ketanos writes that spying poses an additional problem of rechilos. He draws halachic equivalent between telling someone something private and finding it out for yourself. In both cases, the result is the same. And the additional person has regained private information. This is, of course, the Isser of the Tekanos Rabbeinu Gershon, which I'm sure we all know. I hope we all know. Oh, did I skip a source? I'm sorry. Yeah, I did. Like Tekanos Rabbeinu Gershon. So if you look at the next sheet, we did all this. Sorry. So, yeah, I think it's out of order. Right. Page 3 is the continuation of the Rambam, I think. It's the continuation, sorry, of the Sefer Chinuch. Oy, the office, I love you so much. So we'll just end off, because we have to end off anyway, it's almost 40, with the Tekanos Rabbeinu Gershon. In the year 1000, around, Rabbeinu Gershon banned reading other people's mail. The ban, what we call a Cherim, Rabbeinu Gershon, has been halachically accepted amongst all Ashkenazic Jews, because it was not a Sephardic enactment. So for example, a lot of people know, some people get confused between Rav Yehuda HaChassid and Rabbeinu Gershon, but similar types of things. I'm not getting confused, not marrying more than one wife. Sephardim allow this. We don't allow it. We don't understand how you'd be able to marry more than one wife. The ban is halachically accepted, but there's a discussion what it includes. Eavesdropping, wiretapping. Some poskim hold that Rabbeinu Gershon was clearly concerned about privacy in general. And therefore, wiretapping, eavesdropping, of course, is aser. Others say, no, it cannot be extended to late rabbinic prohibitions. These are new electrical things that you found. I don't know if that's aser. Somebody asked me a good question a while back. They said about drones. Am I allowed to fly a drone? Apparently, it's legal nowadays to fly a drone over somebody's property. If it's over a certain amount of feet, you don't own that property. Right? Your own house, I don't know what I'm making it up, over 100 feet does not belong to you. And therefore, I could fly a drone over your house. But we all know, what does a drone have on it? It has a camera. A few weeks ago, a certain governor had a very interesting picture of him, and he had to defend it. It looked like a drone picture because it was on the top. Yeah, that's what happened. So are drones allowed? You say, no, Rabbeinu Gershon didn't know about drones, so it's not us, sir. It's an interesting discussion you have with your guys. Saying wiretapping is not us, sir, because it... So seemingly you would say the first interpretation. Rabbeinu Gershon's idea was you don't... Look, again, I'm not talking about legal situations where you're trying to find out if the guy's about to blow up the Empire State Building. Chas v'shalom. We know that there's an issur of revealing private information. Spying on others probably violates the takana of Ha'atharecha Kamocha. At the very least, there's a breach of moral conduct. Even if you want to say there's an actual issur in certain information that we reveal, it's not appropriate thing. And I want you guys to bring out this Ha'atharecha Kamocha. Don't do unto others that you wouldn't want done to yourself. That's the key. You know, when a teenager makes fun of another teenager, it's would you want that done? No, of course I wouldn't want that done to me. Of course I wouldn't want this done to me. Of course not. Why? Because I feel terrible. Okay, I understand there's a whole psychological study we could have why people make fun of other people. A lot of it has to do with because I feel low about myself, so I want to, you know, move away the attention to that other person. I feel better about myself when But to go, and I'm not even talking about, you know, the whole thing with the Russian thing, obviously, which comes to mind a lot now, a lot. I was listening on the way up. We have, I don't know why, but XM radio, I assume, free for a few months because I get addicted to it. So I love listening to all the news stations. So one guy said, I think it was on Fox even, you know, Fox is supposed to like Trump more than CNN for sure. It's not fake news, as you know, the president says. But, and he said, okay, everybody would agree though, forget about the fact that every 2 days there's some other scandal with the president. Just do your job, president. And then these things would just fall for the wayside because we have nothing to talk about. If you actually did things, and this guy was trying to just do things, do the right thing, do things, and people won't be able to say anything. So when it comes to, again, what, so I would generally think that it's usher, whether or not it's covered under the Takanos of Rabbeinu Gershon is difficult to say, but I would believe that it is as well. Just very, very quickly, there is a Shulchan Aruch, which you see here on your sheet, which is on the wrong page, in Choshen Mishpat, which we already did already. That's why it's so key. Im yesh mum b'mekach ha'memkar, you have to tell the person, you have to reveal information. This is a little bit of a Genevas Das. The Gemara in Ketuvos in Daf 75, the im yesh merchatz b'oso ha'ir, af mamun shebeseser enu yachol liton mipnei shehu butka, right, if you have a bath house, and then the husband cannot complain about even secret defects because he should have asked those close to her. Find out defects in the sound of the buyer, so on and so forth. Right? This is a topic that comes up, which is important. Again, this is not really secret information, but do I have to reveal secret information? It's the opposite of this. Right? I know secret information, right? Am I supposed to run to visiting day and run to my parents and say, wait, before you come in, I want you to know they planted all those flowers today. I want you to know that they painted the thing today. Right? I happen to think that it's not usur, because Genevas Das only applies in a case of obvious effort to try to hoodwink the person. And here, if it's obvious that they're going to make everybody knows they're going to make the camp look better. For example, in my yeshiva, we had I don't know if we have it anymore, but on the brochure there was a picture, right? And it shows the yeshiva, and then in the back of the yeshiva, it was like an aerial view, and the back of the yeshiva is all dirt. It's dirt. So the person who does the graphic design says it looks ugly. So they put trees in the back. There's no trees, really. So this one guy was hawking me about this. says, you're the business guy in the yeshiva. It's Ganevas. That's not right. You have to reveal your private secrets to people, right? It's the opposite of what we're saying. Not the opposite, really, right? You have to reveal and say, oh, by the way, you know, this is our yeshiva. By the way, this really isn't here. I just want to make you sure. So he was so upset about it. I said to him, you know what? Rav Schechter's coming tomorrow to speak here. Let that be one of your questions. And the guy asked the question. He says, Exhibit A, Leiba Torah's brochure. Look over here. And Rav Schechter thought it was not usher at all. Says that's not, you're not purposely trying to deceive someone in order for them to purchase your yeshiva. Nobody's coming to your yeshiva and saying, wow. You know, and he comes there and he goes, oh, I thought there were trees in the back. Now, it's true. If you went ahead and you recruited and you said, we have a basketball court that we're building and it's going to be ready in September, and you really knew it wasn't going to be ready, that's a serious problem. Okay, if things happen, okay, that's different. So again, I think this is a really nice and important topic for us to learn together with your campers. Many hold, just as a final note, he quotes here from Sternbach and Shuvas Vanagas, that if there is a threat to another person, right, and that's the key that guys might say to you, of course it's mutter to take, you know, Apple to court or for you to reveal the information. Like I told you my story, just to end off, which you probably remember or not, was the story about when I was in, got a visit from the FBI after 9/11. One of the 9/11 attackers, I believe Muhammad Atta, had an account with the company I work for, with Netuphone, a voice over the internet account. So that night, I looked up all the other terrorists to see if they had accounts, and they did. So according to this interpretation, it's secretive information, like Apple. I'm not allowed to call the FBI. The guy gave me his card. I called, and I said, hi, by the way, they also, you can, you know, we'll be happy to give you the records too, even though ethically that's incorrect. You're not allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to reveal secrets to them. I thought it was for the public safety of the entire world, and God would grant me a pardon for it not being privacy and mechilas. In any case, that's the topic for this week. Yemirtzeh Hashem, you will sensitize guys to being secretive of that nature. Have a wonderful, 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 wonderful day.